Chapter 5. John on Patmos. In this chapter, we will try to explain that true, absolute life, emanating from the original spirit and from the true, absolute form of manifestation, must be born from the totality of the seven microcosmic planes of existence. You must be clearly conscious that a seven spirit has vehicles that have been created out of the seven times seven, i.e., 49 aspects of absolute existence. This means that a vehicular state born from only a few of these aspects will necessarily be a caricature. Hence, an ideal dialectical body is impossible. That is why transfiguration is concerned with the rebirth of the absolute being. What this being looks like is symbolically told in the Bible in many different ways. It is, for example, described in the book of Revelation. We are referring to the vision of John on Patmos. John is the brother and companion who radiates love for God and his brotherhood and for his fellow men. This is the love that is totally impersonal in its radiation power and highest potency. The sevenfold radiation power of the Gnosis can be distinguished in three forces. These three forces play a role in what is called the second sidereal birth. The achievement of this sidereal birth can be distinguished in three stages. The first stage is called the touch, the second the formation, and the third the fulfillment. The Holy Scriptures call the first stage faith. The touch of the Holy Seven Spirit creates a bridge, as it were, between the pupil and the new life. When the pupil of the first stage hears about the new life, it is as if an inner voice is speaking to him. This first stage of the second sidereal birth immediately has a completely immunizing, protective, and shielding effect against the violence of the things to come. This is why the Gospel says, "Fear not, your faith has saved you." Only from this faith can the touch of the Holy Spirit develop. In the second stage, the formation develops from the touch. The touch completely alters the pupil's whole being. We can see this change as a preparation for transfiguration. The second process brings the pupil closer to his goal. He increases in grace with God. He increases in new life energy. This new life energy is called hope, the hope of eternal life. It is the new astral power breaking through into the head sanctuary. "Fear not, your faith has saved you," the first stage. The hope of eternal life becomes true new life to the pupil. The second stage. Out of that new life comes the fulfillment. The second sidereal birth becomes a fact. The process of transfiguration can begin. It is only then that the pupil stands in love, which is the highest. His faith saved him. He began to live in hope, but in and through love and in and through the fulfillment he received power, the third stage. All those who enter the new life in this way receive the power to become children of God again. Having that power means having freedom. Having that power means being endowed with an inalienable heritage. Paul refers to becoming fellow heirs of God. As soon as the pupil has become a fellow heir of God, he possesses power. The holy flame of this positive possession shines from him or her like a light. The pupil has become a servant in the chain of the brotherhood, a fellow heir of God. Such a person was John on Patmos. He saw bodily before him the prototype of his true, higher soul self that was born in God. He saw the first and the last, who had died and is alive again. "I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet," Rev 1:9-10. Seeing clearly what the liberating path required of him, John arrived on Patmos. Patmos means nothingness, loneliness, complete isolation, absolute dissociation. John had passed through the three stages of the second sidereal birth, the touch, the formation, and the fulfillment. And so there came the moment of his complete ascent into the light, the moment he becomes a fellow heir of God. As a confirmation that the second sidereal birth had completed the third stage, he was confronted with his heavenly soul self. This climax in the development of the pupil is called the Day of the Lord, or the seventh day. It means that on the Day of the Lord, the pupil celebrates the link with the light radiation of the gnosis. This light stream of power enters the pineal gland, continues on into the cerebellum, and, via the pituitary gland and the medulla oblongata, it goes down through the serpent fire channel, causing a fierce burning at different points of the channel. In this way, the fire of the spirit is radiated into the pupil like a burning sword. During this tremendous experience of the storm of the spirit, John hears the trumpet-like voice saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Rev 1:17-18. John was permitted to receive the absolute seal of the new Genesis. This confirmed the establishment of a permanent inflow of forces of healing for eternal life. In this state of being, the pupil begins to perceive in what is called absolute being. He reads this like an open book. He sees and he understands. As the power of love shines through him, he hastens to wake up others and to etch into the human heart blood, "Hurry before it is too late." That is how you should regard these words too. It was not our intention to inform you as to this nature, but to point out to you the path to life as with a fiery arrow in the night, so that you will go this path very consciously, to your Day of the Lord, to the seventh day. May the Lord of all life, the Holy Seven Spirit, lead you through the night of time into the unwavering light. God be with you.